Our temptations are very common. He says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. Temptation is an enticement to go beyond our God-given desires, outside the boundaries that God has set for us. So when you and I are tempted to disobey God, what we are tempted to do is to go beyond the protection, to go beyond a God-set boundary, which He knows is for our good and for our security.
Is there a habit or attitude you just can't seem to shake? Welcome to In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley. As you listen to today's program, you'll discover how to break free from those things that seem to have a grip on you. Here's Dr. Stanley with a biblical strategy for winning the struggle with temptation.
People struggle in many, many areas of their life, and probably one of the most frequent, the most troublesome, and the most defeating is the area of temptation. Now, the Word of God has something very clear, crystal clear, to say about temptation. And every parent should think in terms of how they are living their life, because their children are going to watch them. And if the parents are yielding to temptation, then the children are going to say, well, if it's good enough for my parents, it's good enough for me. And we wonder why we are raising a whole generation of young people who are into all kinds of habits and sin and enslavement because they have watched their parents. And what I want to talk about in this message is this: winning over the struggles with temptation. So I want you to turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in the first verse. He says, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food." What he's referring to is their coming out of Egyptian bondage, being led by Moses, and how God led them by a cloud and by fire, and how He provided all the food for them. And then he says, "And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ." And then he says, "Nevertheless, with most of them God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness." Many of them died in those years of the wilderness. And then he says, "Here's the kind of pathway they chose in spite of the blessings of God." Now, I want you to notice twice he says just about the same thing in this passage, which we should note. He said, "Now these things happened as examples for us, that we should not crave evil things as they also crave them. And do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. No, let us act immorally as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day." He says, "And then, nor let us try the Lord, to tempt the Lord as some of them did and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer." Now listen. "Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." He says, God put this in the Word in order that we may understand how these things ultimately come out. "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." So he's given an example of the nation of Israel and how, in spite of all the blessings that God bestowed upon them, they turned. And if you'll notice what he says, first of all, they craved evil things, they practiced idolatry, they acted immorally, and they tempted the Lord and grumbled about the good things even that God had sent their way. He says, "Now these things were given to us as an example so that you and I may not repeat the same thing." And then if you'll notice again, he says in verse 12, he says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls." And then he follows with this verse. Verse 13, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it." Now, it's in that particular verse, the 13th verse, that I want us to see what he's saying to us here about our struggles with temptation. And I want you to notice what he says. First thing he says, that our temptations are very common. He says, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man." Now, first of all, let's define what we mean by temptation. Somebody says, well, temptation is an enticement to do evil. Well, that's true. But if you think about it this way, And that is, it is an enticement. Watch this. Temptation is an enticement to our natural God-given desires, an enticement to go beyond our God-given desires, outside the boundaries that God has set for us. That is, God has given to us all kinds of desires that are legitimate. So when you and I are tempted to disobey God, what we're tempted to do is to go beyond the protection, to go beyond a God-set boundary, which He knows is for our good and for our security. So when you think in terms of what temptation is about, how it works, that's how it works. It begins with a thought. And that thought develops into imagination. And that imagination develops into a desire. And that desire develops into a decision. I have to make a decision to obey or disobey. Now, what is Satan's goal in all temptation, in all of his temptation? And all temptation ultimately is from him. In fact, if you'll think about it, and we look back in the very first family, Satan is in the garden, and what is he doing? Tempting Adam and Eve. Now, he said, all the trees in the garden, help yourself, except one. That one tree is limited, and that was the tree that God gave for man to make a choice whether he loves God or does not love Him, is going to obey God or is not going to obey Him. So what did man do? Think about this. All the trees in the garden, and there's just one that he cannot have. So what does Satan do? Satan points out the one that is beyond the boundaries of God. All those trees within the boundary of God's will. One tree outside the boundary, and Satan used that one. Isn't it interesting how Satan works in our lives? And that is, he will point, you may be so blessed in so many areas, but he'll point to something over here that you either, that you can't have or something that you've thought about. And what does he do? He magnifies the importance of the one thing you can't have. Why? Because he knows that's the way he's going to get you. And what is his goal? His goal is always, very simple, alienation from God. That is always Satan's goal in temptation, to alienate us from God. To do what? To frustrate our fellowship with Him. To get us to thinking about other things and satisfying, gratifying, fulfilling the lust of the flesh, that natural, normal desires within us, human desires, the humanness within us that desires those things that are not of God. Now, He says it is common to all people. It doesn't make any difference who you are. No person has ever lived without temptation. Now, he says here, no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And he says, he says it all comes from the tempter. Satan is called the tempter, and his goal is alienation and ultimately to destroy us. Satan's goal is never good. There's not a single solitary thing that Satan offers you that is going to ultimately be for your good. Something may appear to be for your good, but ultimately he's got a hook in it. Because he may allure you with something that appeals to you that may seem to be right. But if he can get you to do one thing that's right or to get you to do something else that's wrong, even that has a wrong motivation. So his goal is always alienation from God, always and somehow to break our fellowship with him, get us out of fellowship, and get us out of the will of God. That's always his goal. Now, when he says this temptation is common to all men, what he's simply saying is this, that nobody is an exception. No one should ever say, well, I am absolutely, totally beyond that temptation. Because I don't think we could afford to say that, because the truth is we don't know. If we got in the wrong situation with the wrong pressure, because people say this all the time, I never believed that I would participate in this. I never believed that I would get enslaved by this habit. It was the furthest thing from my mind. And yet oftentimes, people go to the hospitals, doctors put them on drugs. Supposedly temporarily. They get off, they get home, and next thing you know, they're on them again. Next thing you know, they are enslaved by them. Or whether it's an alcohol that they started out with one drink at what's so-called the happy hour, or it may be something else. But Satan is a very deceptive one, just one. And oftentimes, if he can get a person to cross the line, just step across the line one time. Listen, when you step across a particular line one time, you know what Satan knows? He knows after the first time, the second one is going to be easier. If he can get you across the line three or four or five times, he knows that you're going down. That's why we have to remain alert. And every single person is subject to being tempted by something or someone at times in their life. Now, let's distinguish between something here that's very important. Because oftentimes we would think in terms of temptation and trials as the same. First of all, we're talking about temptation. We said temptation is an enticement to do evil. It is an enticement to go beyond the God-given desires and attempt to fulfill those in some fashion that's beyond what God allows. It's an enticement to do evil. That's what temptation is. A period of testing is a season in which God allows us to be tried, not for the purpose of defeating us, but for the purpose of approving us. So in temptation, the ultimate goal is to fall. The ultimate goal is to commit evil. The ultimate goal is to do wrong. In testing, the ultimate goal is what? To teach us endurance, to strengthen us, to build us up in our faith. God would never tempt us. He would never try us in order to get us to do wrong. It is absolutely outside of His character. It's outside of His very nature. He would never even think of doing anything as far as tempting us. You say, well, wait a minute now. But doesn't God allow us to be tempted? God allows us to be tempted, but God does not tempt us to do evil. God never tempts us. We can never accuse God. So testing is for the goal of a testing is approval. Look at this verse again. He says in verse 12, blessed is a man or woman who perseveres, hangs in there, stays in there, remains strong under trial. Once they have been approved, they will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised them. You see, He wants us to come out approved. Anytime you and I are going through a period of testing, doesn't make any difference what the nature of it is. God's goal in allowing us to go through that time of testing is, listen, now watch this, don't forget this. God, if you can put it this way, is in heaven rooting for us. He wants us to endure. He wants us to be sustained. He wants us to be victorious. He wants us to come through and say, I knew you could do it. And what He wants to do is approve of us and build us up and strengthen us. So when we come through trial, we come through victoriously. When we come through temptation, God wants us to come through even temptation victoriously, triumphantly, and in our struggle to come through not having failed, but rather having been approved by Him. So God desires to approve His children, and when He allows us to go through testing and trial, what He allows it for is because He knows that we will become stronger as a result. And so this is what He's referring to here when we talk about the difference between the two. Now, there's some misunderstandings that people have about temptation, so let's look at several of them because this is, I think, a real problem with many people. And if you misunderstand what temptation is all about, you can get very discouraged and you'll be tempted to yield and say, well, what's the use anyway? So what are some of these areas in which you and I misunderstand? Well, one of them, I think, is the fact that temptation itself is a sin. And so if a person feels tempted or experiences temptation, they say, well, I've sinned. Well, why did you sin? Well, let me tell you what I thought about. Well, the fact that you thought about something and the fact that you were tempted does not mean that you sinned. Now, here's proof of that. If that were true, Jesus sinned. Now, you and I know He did not sin, but He was certainly tempted. Now, if Jesus Christ were tempted, which He was, He had to think about what Satan said when he said, Jesus, if you be the Son of God, turn that stone into bread. Take a shortcut. Misuse your power. Jesus had to allow that thought to come into His mind. And so He thought about it. Didn't have to think very long about any of those. And He resisted Satan and He answered him with the Word of God. Shall not tempt the Lord thy God. And so that's the way He responded to temptation. So certainly Jesus understood and certainly Jesus had those thoughts. Now here's what Satan says. When a person is tempted, Satan will say, well, aren't you ashamed? Look what you're thinking. Look what you're thinking about. The very idea that you would even think about such a thing says you might as well go ahead and do it. If you think that, you might as well sin. Listen, you're talking about a devil's lie. That is the devil's lie that because you think about something and because you, listen, even because you may be struggling in your temptation to either lie or do something that you should not do, even in the struggle of that, the fact that you don't do it means that you're victorious in that, that you have struggled through and that you have won over that temptation. And for a person to say, well, if I thought about it, I might as well do it. That is straight from the devil, straight from hell. Nothing can be more far from the truth. But that's exactly what he says. And so some people say, well, you know, the very idea of being tempted. Listen, if I were what I ought to be, I wouldn't be tempted. It's because you are what you ought to be that you're tempted, which leads me to the second thing. And that's this. That some people have the misunderstanding that if you're a spiritually minded person, then you will not be harassed by temptation. Well, the truth is the very opposite is true. Listen, the more godly you walk, what happens? The more sensitive you become to sin. The more obedient you are, the more sensitive you become to temptation. And the more God uses you in your life, the more Satan is going to do everything in his power to destroy you. You think Satan is going to allow you to begin to live the Christian life and walk obediently before God, and because you are becoming transformed the likeness of Christ, therefore just get off your back and let you go? Absolutely not. And so sometimes when you think about it, the more God uses you, the more Satan attacks you. And say, well, you know, it looks like to me that God would just let up. It isn't God's letting up. It's just the fact, listen, Satan's not going to bother anybody that's not bothering Satan's kingdom. Why does he work on you as a believer the way he does? Why does he want to ride our back continuously? Because what's going on, absolutely, he hates it, and he will destroy it in any way he possibly can. Now, one of the ways he deceives us is this. The way Satan deceives the church is he gets churches looking at each other, people looking at each other. And if he can get people looking at each other and talking about each other and working each other over and taking vengeance on each other, what he's doing is standing back and watching us destroy one another. He loves that because, you see, he'll do anything to destroy the people of God, the saints of God, the servants of God, the work of God. He'll do anything possible. So if your idea is to get Satan off your back, become more spiritual, I'm here to tell you, you're going to have a tremendous disappointment. Because the more godly you are, the more Satan is going to harass you and do everything in his power to destroy you in every way he possibly can. And so the very idea that you say the more spiritual you are, the less you would think about these things. Oh, no, Satan's going to throw everything at you he possibly can. And I can remember one of my dearest friends, who's one of the godliest men and the finest preachers I've ever known. I remember him saying he went through a time about a year in his life. It was a health problem, but he said, you can't imagine what I thought. He said, I thought the most evil, the most corrupt, the most horrendous things you can ever imagine. He said, I could not even imagine that I would think such things. Here's a good example. Let's say, have you ever been praying and think something bad? How many of you? You've been praying, think something bad? Well, now, wait a minute. Of all the places Satan wouldn't bother you is in your place of prayer. I'm here to tell you, he's sitting there waiting for you when you got there. Because, if he can keep the people of God off their knees, then he doesn't care what else you and I do. And secondly, if you and I get into real praying, I don't mean that Satan will always be able to interrupt it, but I'm here to tell you, what will he do? In a very deceptive way, get you thinking about something else. Haven't you started praying about something? Next thing you know, you will be somewhere else in your mind, and you're totally off of what you were praying about. Well, who do you think led you over there? Well, certainly it wasn't God. It was the devil. So what does he do? He interferes every way he possibly can. And so you'll begin to pray. And have you ever been praying and you think, I'm not getting anywhere. I just feel like my prayers aren't getting anywhere. Why? Because Satan is there to interfere and to put a barrier between you and God. Now, most people will quit praying when they feel like God's not listening. That is not the time to quit praying. That's the time to be persistent in your prayer, because Satan knows that, listen, God must be wanting to say something to you. God wants to do something in your life. And so Satan's there to thwart that every way possible. You're not to hang in there and keep on praying till we break through that. And you say, well, now, what do you mean by breaking through it? Exactly what I said. There are times when you may begin to pray about something or someone, and it's just like a barrier. Now, sometimes I've had to say, now, wait a minute. I just back up and say, now, wait a minute, Lord. I know that you're listening. I know that you're here. But God, here's what I feel. I know this is Satan. Now, Lord, I want you to enable me through the Holy Spirit to hang in here and to break through this. And sometimes it's just like that. You just seemingly you're not getting anywhere. I'm telling you, that is the devil. He will do anything and everything he can to keep you off your knees. He doesn't want you praying. He'll do everything he can to keep you from tithing, because he knows if you get blessed materially, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be a good testimony. So what does he do? He says, look, you've got to pay this and you've got to pay that. Listen, I don't care what that preacher tells you. You know that God wants you to, he wants you to pay off all your bills and whatever you have left. Then that's when you give. He'll lie. Listen, he is the father of lies. He will lie every way he possibly can to keep you from growing in your relationship to God. You don't mess around with the devil. Don't ever get into conversation with the devil. He is not one you want to communicate with. Because I'm here to tell you, he's defeated every saint of God. You can start with Adam, and you can go all the way through the scriptures. And Satan has, you cannot afford to play around. You cannot afford to communicate with him. We communicate with God and resist the devil. And he says, by the power of the Holy Spirit, That's why He came, to enable us to become the persons God wants us to be and to do the work successfully God has called us to do.
Thanks for joining us today for In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley. It takes persistence to be successful. Be diligent and vigilant in resisting your area of weakness, and saturate your mind with God's Word. As you do, you'll see your thinking being altered by truth. Dr. Stanley continues his message, The Struggle with Temptation, tomorrow. Maybe you're frustrated when you try to read the Bible. You just don't seem to connect with it. You'll find resources at intouch.org that can help you read Scripture with the intention of applying it to your life. And that's where you can order a copy of today's complete message, The Struggle with Temptation. It's also included in Dr. Stanley's teaching set, Winning Over Life Struggles. Again, that's intouch.org or call 1-800-INTOUCH. You can write to us at In Touch, Post Office Box 7900. Atlanta, Georgia, 30357. Can a person really fall into sin? The truth is, it's more deliberate than that. Today's Moment with Charles Stanley is coming up.
As a young man, Charles Stanley saw the Lord work in the life of his grandfather. What he witnessed inspired him to want to know God better. You can share in that legacy with the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible. With notes and devotionals from Dr. Stanley, it'll help you apply God's Word to your life every day. Order your copy of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible. Visit intouch.org or call 1-800-INTOUCH.
Sometimes life isn't so simple. Minor circumstances become major trials. Concerns transform into fear, and frustration becomes anger.
Every single obstacle in the path of your life and mine is an opportunity for God to demonstrate His awesome power and love and presence in your life and mine.
To order Charles Stanley's series, Facing Life's Obstacles, call 800-INTOUCH or visit intouch.org. What's the difference between falling into sin and stepping into it? Not much, as you'll learn in A Moment with Charles Stanley.
One of the mistakes that people make and one of the misunderstandings is people talk about falling into sin. Well, I just fell into sin. No, you didn't. No such thing as falling into sin. Because you see, every sin is a choice. Now, I may fall prey to, that is, Satan may slip up on my blind side and really attack me, and before I know it, I have yielded, but I didn't fall into it. I may have been surprised, he may have hit me on my blind side, but I didn't fall into it. I chose. The ultimate decision is always ours. We cannot blame it on the devil. And somebody says, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. Now, for a lost person, yes, the power of Satan is there, and they don't have any real godly resistance. But for those of us who are believers, we say, he who is within us is greater than he is in the world. Therefore, I cannot excuse myself by saying, well, you know, I just fell into sin. No, you don't fall into sin. You and I choose to make that decision.
Search our website for help in effectively fighting temptation. Go to intouch.org. If you missed any of today's message, or if you'd like to hear it again, visit our website. You can also stream previous programs from the radio archives or download podcasts and devotions. Find these and many other resources at intouch.org. And if today's program has prompted you to take a new look at how you could share the grace of God with others, please let us know. Though temptation is inevitable, Christians are not at the mercy of Satan's tricks. We can overcome him decisively. Dr. Stanley provides encouragement from Scripture Thursday on In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, and remains on this station through your faithful prayers and gifts.